Welcome to the Conquering Chaos Podcast. I'm your host, Erin E. Hooley, president and founder of multi-million dollar e-commerce children's clothing line, Bailey's Blossoms. So it turns out I'm pretty good at business, but what really lights my soul on fire is providing other entrepreneurs and mompreneurs with the tools they need to truly succeed. So if you have a business or have one on your heart, you're in good company. Pull up a chair or drop in some earbuds and let's conquer some chaos today. Hey guys, have I got a treat in store for you today. I have Pat Flynn here with me, and we are talking about all of the things. If you have ever struggled with feelings of wanting to give up on this whole entrepreneurial thing, or making the most of your time and being present with those you love, aka not listening when you're supposed to be listening, if you hate the idea of trading time for money, or wonder if quality really is more important than quantity in terms of your social media following, this episode is for you. Now, before we jump in, today's review comes from Blooms and Arrows, who says, "I love the support Erin gives us. I leave wanting to work harder on my business and with the confidence that I can succeed." Thank you, Blooms and Arrows. This is exactly what I love to hear. My goal here is to provide you with the tools that you need to take control of your life and your business. So if you've been enjoying the past episodes, I know you're going to love this one. Pat is an incredibly successful entrepreneur and digital marketer. He is a professional blogger, keynote speaker, Wall Street Journal best-selling author, and host of the Smart Passive Income and Ask Pat podcasts. Now, when I started the Conquering Chaos podcast not 3 months ago, it was his advice and expertise that I turned to, so I can personally vouch that he is a total rock star. And on top of all that, he is also an incredibly hands-on and devoted father. So if you're not a fan of his yet, you are about to be. Pat, welcome to the show.
Erin, thank you so much for that wonderful intro, and I'm just very happy to be here.
It's great to have you here. You know, I'd love for you to take us back to the very beginning and tell us a little bit about how you got your start.
Sure. So I was born in 1982. I was 11 pounds, 12 ounces. Yeah, that, which is true. I was that big of a baby. I haven't grown much since then. But anyway, I'm going to fast forward to 2008, because 2008 is when this all really started to happen. I had graduated from Berkeley with a degree in architecture. I had been in the architecture field for about 4 years and loving it, loving my job. And then mid-2008, much like many other people at that time, I lost my job. I got laid off because of the recession. And it was a big blow, because my dream was to become a world famous architect, and I loved it. And my immediate reaction was to, in addition to crying, to calling everybody I knew in the architecture space to see if I could just beg and plead for a job in that space, because that's all I knew. That's all, you know, I thought I was doing everything right.
Right.
Getting a 4.0 average, going above and beyond, and just making this secure future for myself. And I still got let go. And so when my dad told me, "Hey, you know, this might be a good time for you to go back to school, get a master's degree," I was like, "You know what? I don't want to go the traditional route anymore, because I just have already been let down by that. So I want to take control. I want to do something where if I fail, I want it to be my own fault, not something that, you know, I didn't have control over." So I was looking at entrepreneurship as sort of a route to go down. And around that time, I discovered podcasts. And there was one particular podcast where they interviewed other entrepreneurs. And there was one episode where I heard a guy making six figures teaching people how to pass the PM exam, which is the project management exam. And that was my big aha moment, because I had taken several exams, many very difficult in the architecture space. So I decided to put together this website and put all the information I knew about an exam called the LEED exam. LEED is what it's what the acronym is, and that stands for Leadership and Energy and Environmental Design. Super nerdy in the architecture space. Most people don't know what it's about. But after publishing a number of articles there, like working on it 12 hours a day, getting involved in forums and trying to be the expert in that thing, I soon became seen as that expert. And then a few months later, I wrote a study guide where I packaged all my knowledge into an ebook that was $19, and I sold it. Just, I had a basic PayPal button on my website. That first month I launched it, I had made $7,908.55.
Wow.
And that was 2.5 times more than I was making as an architect. And so
right.
My immediate reaction was, holy crap, like the FBI is going to come and arrest me, because this is just
what did I just
sound,
do?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this can't be real. Like, this is, it feels like drug money or something. And it just didn't feel right. But then, of course, in addition to the income continuing to grow, I started to notice that I started to get all these amazing letters, handwritten letters via email from people just going, You've saved my career. Thank you so much. I passed the exam after studying for a year, and it was your guide that helped me. And they were calling me by name. They're like, Pat, thank you. And that was the weirdest part, because I had worked so hard in the architecture field, and I have my fingerprint on a number of buildings in the United States, but nobody would ever know. And here I am helping people in like a little tiny world, and I'm getting recognized for it. And it just taught me that, you know, business can be done in a way where you don't have to create a blockbuster hit. You just need to really help a certain group of people and become their go-to resource. And you can build an amazing life from that. And since then, I built a new website called Smart Passive Income, which is where most people know me from now, where I just literally just share anything and everything I learn about this world of online business. And back then it was how I built that architecture website. And more recently, it's about how I've invented something, how I've built an app company, how I've built other websites, how I've been able to write best-selling books as a self-published author. Just anything I learn, I share it. And it's not always a win. It's not always a straight A to Z rainbows and unicorns situation. I fail a lot. And I share it because it's always a lesson. And now here I am coming out with another book, and I'm just so thankful to connect with amazing people like yourself and others who want to support my mission in helping people realize they have the ability to create a life of their own with the skills and knowledge and experiences that they have. And I just feel so blessed. And probably the best part about this is just I've been able to create a business in a way that helps me. It allows me to spend more time with my family. And I think that's the most important thing to me. So my wife and I, we walk our kids to school every day, and we pick them up from school every day together. And we're like, that's, you know, awesome. We have teachers come up to us and go, what did you guys, like, how are you able to do that? Did you win the lottery or something? And I'm like,
like, no, smart passive income.
It's smart passive income, you know, and the passive part is the last step. Building a business is not easy, and it's a lot of work, and it's hard, and it requires failure, but it's probably the best, you know. I think back to my layoff and how terrible that felt. It was probably the best thing that could ever happen to me, and I'm just trying to pay it forward.
I love that. So let's actually dive into smart passive income. For those who maybe are not familiar with the term, what is that?
So smart passive income. So if you look up the definition passive income on any websites, you're going to find a lot of different definitions, and anything from investments and real estate and those kinds of things. But I think passive income in the sense that I teach it is a little bit different, and it's the idea of that you know, you don't have to trade your time for money, mm-hmm. right? You can create these things. And for me in particular, I help you create online businesses that take advantage of automation, tools, building teams that allow for transactions to happen, cash flow and growth to happen without requiring a real-time presence, meaning you invest time up front to build something that can pay you back many times over later. And so with that architecture website, for example, I had built it in a way, and I got inspired by Tim Ferriss and the 4-Hour Workweek, which came out right around the same time, so that I could have an ebook and not a physical book, because the physical book would require me to go to the post office and deal with returns. No, there's systems in place and ways that you can deliver value and serve people without having to do that. So a person can come to my website, download an ebook, pay for it, and get it delivered to them automatically. I don't have to have any hand in that transaction. It's all done in an automated fashion. And then I can, you know, literally wake up with more money in my account. And it sounds sort of crazy, but it actually happens.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And so that's what passive income is. And it doesn't take much beyond just finding a group of people who need help and creating a solution.
Right.
For them.
And it's a far cry where you're at now from where you began. But what a roadmap that you've created for so many people I know that are trying to enter into this space, and you're really just laying it out in a way that's bite-sized, palatable, doesn't scare everybody. And not to mention that you're doing it being a hands-on dad at the same time. So you talked about that and just a little bit, and I want to touch on that as well. But what does your typical day or week even look like?
Yeah, I mean, there isn't really a, quote, typical day in terms of, you know, I wake, you know, like I go to work at 9 and I come back at 5. Mm-hmm. Although I will say there were some challenges when I started to be an entrepreneur because I was so used to that.
Yes.
And when I had started entrepreneurship, it was just so crazy that just in my computer or on my phone, I could always be doing business. And it was like, it felt like this cool thing. I could always be growing. I could always think about that next product. I could always think about that next email. But unfortunately, and this is before I had kids, my wife and I, like she caught me in the middle of a conversation, not fully present. Like she called me out and just kind of like, yes, honey. Mm-hmm. And what I was doing is I was like thinking about my business when I should have been having a conversation with my wife.
I'm so guilty about that.
You know, and she called me out on it. And I'm so glad she did, because we've had two kids since then. I'm so thankful that she really you know, grounded me and taught me to be make sure I'm present when I'm with her and the family, but also be present in my business when I'm with my business. So it's a little bit challenging, but so I still have time boundaries now. I still, especially now that the kids are older and they're in school, there's moments when I know that I'm not going to have to worry about them, and moments when, you know, they come home and I want to be fully present with them, and I try to structure my day around that. But you know, if I had to, and if I was forced to determine sort of what is a typical day, you know, I do wake up pretty early. I practice the miracle morning thanks to Hal Elrod, and I wake up before anybody else in the house, and that allows me to work on myself first. It's like putting right. the mask on yourself in the airplane before you put it on other people. If I'm not okay, if I'm not in my best mental and physical health, then I'm not able to best help others. So in the morning, I work on meditation. I do some affirmations, visualizations, exercising, reading, and some journaling as well, all packed into about a 45-minute to one-hour sort of time slot. And that's literally from the miracle morning. And then from there, usually the kids are up and we're playing or reading, and they do some journaling as well. Like some of my practices with personal development have gone onto them, which is really cool. So I help them with their writing, and then we cook breakfast, and then we hang out. And usually my wife is up at that point and she sort of takes over, and then I kind of step into my office here at home, or I more recently have now had an office at a local WeWork where I can go in and I have access to higher level video equipment, podcasting equipment, those kinds of things for the work that I do and the content that I create. And usually I'm back home in the afternoon. But what's nice is it's flexible. So if one random Wednesday we were like, hey, you know, maybe we should head up to Disneyland because it's, you know, because we just feel like it. Okay, why not? And that's cool. And usually it's not as big as like, let's go to Disneyland. It's like, hey, let's just go to the grocery store midday when there's parking and not long lines, just because we can. And that's the beauty of it. It's the flexibility. So it's still a constant battle of learning, okay, how do I balance entrepreneurship and life? But for me, especially with the kids and at the age that they're at now, they're like little sponges, right? Like they absorb everything.
Yes, they are.
And my goal is to just expose them to what their options can be, because I didn't know I had this option of being an entrepreneur before I got laid off. And so my layoff was probably the best thing to ever happen to me, to be honest. But with the kids, I get them involved, because for me, when my parents worked, like I remember coming home from school and nobody was home until 6 p.m. when both my parents came home, and it was like, hey, where are my parents at? Right. Oh, they're at work. Work takes my parents away from me. And for me, I want it to be the opposite. Work is actually what brings us together. Work is what gives us these opportunities. Work is something we can actually do together. So my son will often be in my office as I'm podcasting. Well, we even have a podcast together called All of Your Beeswax, and we're recording season 2 right now. And you know, they're in the office, and instead of just going like, don't touch that, it's incredibly expensive equipment, I'm like, hey, look at this, touch this, play with it. What does this knob do? Oh, this one changes the bass. Do you know what bass means? No, that's like how deep of a sound is. Here, turn it up. See what you sound like now. And just getting them involved makes it so interesting. And then they begin to ask questions like all kids do, right? Like, oh, like, yeah. Well, why do you do that? And instead of just going, oh, I don't have time for that, I go, okay, well, let me show you. I'm about to do this podcast interview, and sit back and listen to kind of how I ask questions, because I just want to be curious and have content that I can share with others. And then after the episode, I go, okay, look what I'm doing here. I'm editing out this part where she sneezed in the middle, and this is how you do that. And they just, you know, what I'm doing is I'm just exposing them to everything so that they go, ooh, I like that. And then I go, okay, I read you. Here, let me give you more of that, because that seems to be where your interest is right now. And I could go on and on and on about parenting.
That's amazing. Oh, my goodness. So much value in there just alone. And honestly, it just gives me chills, because I've got 6 children, and that work-life balance is so real. And I'm completely guilty of what you mentioned as far as having a conversation, not really being fully present. And while I'm aware and I'm calling myself out on those things more and more, changing it is a very, very difficult reality.
Yeah.
So what are some tips that you have for those that maybe struggle with that, to kind of begin to ground themselves in a different and better way?
Well, this might sound kind of interesting, and I've had friends tell me to write a book about this, but it's literally so simple. When I was having problems with sort of just being present, whether it's with family or with work, here's a strategy that has worked. And I no longer do this because I've sort of trained myself out of what the problem was. So here's what I do. And anybody can do this with a smartphone. You go on your smartphone, you go into the alarms, and then you literally create like 15 alarms, you know, throughout the day at mm-hmm. random times. And you have them be little messages about Are you present now? Are you who you're with? Are you where you should be? Like, great job if you are doing what you should be doing. And then mm-hmm. what happens is these alarms sort of like interrupt you. And a lot of people go, like, what if you're in the flow and you're getting interrupted? Well, if you're in the flow and you get interrupted, and it's basically confirmation that, yeah, I am actually doing what I'm doing. So great job. Let me keep going.
I love that.
But in the beginning, like, these things would like catch me, and it would be sort of like a, you know, when you're just like staring off at nothing and somebody like snaps their fingers in front of your
yes.
face, like, hello, are you like earth to Pat? It's kind of like that. And you can kind of come back to where you need to be, because sometimes when we're working, we just kind of are on automatic mode. Or when we're with our family, like, our brain starts to think about one thing and it thinks about another thing, and we're like way far off where we should be. And these alarms go, hey, wait, really quick. Are you where you're supposed to be right now? Bring it back. Right.
Bring it back. Oh, I love that.
And then over time you can reduce the alarms. And then over time, what actually happens is you can start to anticipate them and go, no, I'm going to make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be. And then now I no longer need them. Another thing is just, you know, with my wife, like, I'm so thankful she stepped up and was like, hey, you, like, stop. Like, I give her permission to do that if she catches me, and I give other people, my colleagues and even my kids, that's where it matters most from. Is from those people who I actually care about. So when I heard April catch me, I felt so terrible about it. It was a big wake up call versus just me wondering if I had actually done what I was supposed to do during the day, actively thinking about it. So those are a couple tips. So getting a support system to like, and giving them permission to call you out on it, and then also just sort of the self alarm sort of mechanism that I just taught.
That's great. Thank you for those. Okay, so obviously entrepreneurship comes with its fair deal of challenges, both personal and company-wide, right? So
yes.
Have you ever wanted to throw in the towel, give up?
Oh, gosh. Do we have like 5 hours to talk about every single time I wanted to do that? I mean, on the macro level of just like literally wanting to start over and go back to architecture, absolutely. But even on the micro level with projects that just aren't really going the way that I thought they were going, and then, you know, the times are tough and it's either, hey, let's dump this and start something new, and then, or move forward and keep going and figure out how to solve this problem. Is this a squirrel issue, like, oh, and there's a new shiny object, or is this actually just a challenge that
right.
means there's something great on the other end? So there's so much involved in the mental related to entrepreneurship. But on the macro level, like, hey, I just want to quit altogether. My first real big moment was a few months after I started my architecture related website to help people pass an exam. I got a letter from the United States Green Building Council. They're the people who put on the exam. It was actually an attorney that represented them. And I was like,
oh,
what is this?
And it, in a first class envelope or one day express.
Exactly. I thought it was like a thank you letter for helping to support the company and actually help their members pass the exam. And it was from an attorney that represented them that said, hey, you have to stop what you're doing in 7 days or we're going to take further legal action.
Oh,
and I was
goodness.
Like, oh my gosh, I'm way over my head. What am I doing? Let me go back to architecture. This is a sign that this is not
scary.
What I'm supposed to
oh
be doing.
Gosh. Yes.
I quit. I'm done. And I called an attorney and I faxed the letter to them. This was back when faxing was a thing. And he was like, hey, you know, this isn't that bad. They don't want you to use the word lead in your domain name. That's all it is. And I didn't see that because I just got so phased by getting a letter from an attorney that I didn't, you know, I wasn't calm enough to read actually what was going on. I just thought it was done. But
oh my
I was
goodness.
Using, yeah, thankfully, I was using their trademark in my domain name. And they were kind of cracking down on that because there were a lot of sites that were pretending to be lead related that weren't, that were duping people. And if they want to get rid of all of them, they need to get rid of all of them, and mine included. And so my attorney talked to their attorney and they were like, okay, you have 14 days to change it, but you don't have to get rid of it. And I was like, okay, thank God. So I did a 301 redirect, which is a fancy way of just saying, like, making sure Google understands that I'm just changing the name of my website, not starting over, so I could keep all the rankings that I had in Google, and everything was fine.
That's so funny, too, because the first time that I ever felt the same, I had received a cease and desist. I had used a two-word phrase that I didn't realize was protected. And I got a cease and desist, scared the tar out of me. I thought, oh my
yeah,
gosh,
right?
I'm going down. We're all going down. The world is ending. The entrepreneurship, not for me.
The
and
same
it,
feeling.
And it scared me. Oh, it scared me to death. But then you take a step back and you realize, okay, hold on a second. This is a learning opportunity.
Exactly.
And we're going to push on and press forward. Oh, that
exactly.
That makes me smile.
Another moment was like the first time I had to pay taxes. with my business, because you know, when you're working 9 to 5, taxes get taken out with every paycheck.
Yes.
Versus when you're an entrepreneur, you have to pay quarterly. Uh-huh. And I hadn't done that initially, so I had to pay sort of backtracking. Yeah, yep. A year's worth. And
did
I was just
that
like,
too.
I wrote like a 6-figure check to the IRS. And
oh
I was
my
like,
gosh.
I was like,
and you cried.
And I literally cried, because it's just like, no, this is like, I earned this money. But then, you know, it's hard. It's when they take it piece by piece, it's the same, but it doesn't feel the same.
Correct.
And then I had to sort of reframe my mind. That's one thing that I've gotten really good at, taking the negative and the thing that's making me feel bad and flipping it into a positive. In that case, it was just like with you, saying, hey, this is a learning experience. In this case, it was, you know what? I get to pay this much money to the IRS.
Right.
Which means I have more money coming into my pocket and I'm able to support this lifestyle. And that's kind of how I
love that.
Trick myself. I don't know.
No, I love that. And I don't even see it as a trick. I see it as clear directive and perspective, which a lot of people would benefit from to be able to focus and hone in on. There's so much in the entrepreneurial realm that can really overwhelm us and get us down and almost feel like it's crushing us with weight. But as long as we can keep that perspective, man, the sky's the limit. And right. Really, those learning opportunities provide those value gems for then you to turn and create more passive income through trainings, because there are other people that don't want to get a cease and desist letter, and you can tell them and show them how not to.
Exactly. And may I speak about one more moment that was probably
Absolutely.
Bigger than both of those? It was – so a couple of years later, Smart Passive Income was taking off. I was getting a lot of great publicity from – a lot of things I was doing on the website, like sharing everything, including how much money I was making. Mm-hmm. And I have these income reports on my website where I share how the businesses are doing and like how it's growing and all that stuff down to the penny, income and expenses. And I received a probably 800-word comment from somebody who was just really, really getting into my character, my look. It was probably some of the most hurtful words I could have ever read.
Wow.
And it was about me. And I was like, okay, this guy's just a troll. I've seen these guys before. This is an extreme case. I'm just going to delete the comment, which, you know, you don't feed the trolls, they say. And I just deleted it. But then I wake up the next morning and I notice that I get like 30, 40 emails from various friends of mine. And they go, hey, that some dude left this like nasty comment about you on my website on the article that you were featured
oh
on or on
gosh.
The podcast you were featured on. He had taken and copied and pasted that whole thing about me and put it everywhere else
oh
I was on the internet.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was just crushed. I was like, how could this person do this? I can't handle this. And I'm a people pleaser, right? So
right.
I hate seeing that. And I just was crying, and I didn't work for nearly a month. I couldn't post anything new because I was so afraid of what other people would say and starting to believe that, well, maybe I am a fraud, or, you know, all the sort of like self-doubts that come into play,
right.
Which are not true, but it's emotions. And eventually found out that this person had targeted me because, number one, they saw that I was a vulnerable target, that I was so sort of nice that I was
you put your heart
that,
into everything.
Right. And the sad thing is I also found out that this person was doing it because they thought it would bring them more traffic to their website. And
wow.
And what my one of my friends, Derek, told me, and this is what got me working again, he said, Pat, every second you waste thinking about this one hater is a second that you're taking away from the thousands of people who need you. Right now. And that's not fair to them. Like, you have to get back on your horse for them. Who cares about this person? It's one person. And then a good friend of mine, Shannon Irvin, who's a neuropsychologist, she said, hurt people hurt people.
Hmm.
You know, and it changed the story. It was like, wow, this person is so hurt on the inside that they are willing to hurt others because of that. I hope this person's okay mentally. I hope they're okay. I wish I could help them.
Oh, that gives me chills.
You know, and that played a role with my son, because my son started a YouTube channel recently, and we warned him. My wife and I, we gave him some insight on the kind of people that are out there like that, and we told him these exact same things: hurt people, people want attention, and whatever. And my son comes home comes downstairs one day when he's working on a video he's editing. He goes, "Daddy, how do I delete a comment?" And I go, "Well, why do you want to delete it?" He's like, "It's a bad comment, and it doesn't belong on my channel." And I went up and I checked it, and the commenter on his video, my son's channel, said, "Kill yourself."
Oh, goodness gracious!
And I go, "Oh my gosh! Like, who is this person? I'm gonna."
Psst, yeah, dad
whatever.
Mode pops in, right?
Right, exactly. But I went to my son. He looked fine, and I said, "What do you think? Like, how does this comment make you feel?" And he goes, "I don't know what's happening in this person's life, but I hope he's okay."
Wow.
And I'm like, oh man, we did it right.
That's
you know?
Great. Oh, what great perspective. And how old is he?
He was 8 at the time. He's 9 now.
Oh, I love that. Well done, Dad.
Thank you. And mommy too, for sure. And
absolutely.
You know, some adults, including my earlier self, wouldn't have been able to handle that very well. So.
No, absolutely. Oh, goodness. I love that so much. Okay, so you are clearly a master as far as getting people not just to feel of their own potential, but then to go and embark on it. And I think that that plays really well into your new expedition, this book that you have that's going to be released in August, correct?
Yes, August 13th, called Superfans. And
yes.
I'm really excited about this because I have been able to, through the last decade of doing this work, find out that, you know, my super fans are really the reason why I'm here. They're the reasons why new people come in the brand. They are my repeat customers. They are the people who support me. They are the people who defend me from trolls before I even know they exist. And,
right.
And this is so important because I think with where businesses are headed these days and the fact that it's the human to human connections that are going to be the most important, no matter what happens in technology, no matter what the algorithms say, you should do. It's the super fans who are always going to be there. And you actually don't need very many super fans to build an incredible business for you. And businesses are losing these opportunities because we have these opportunities to create super fans right now. And the truth is you can't create a fan the moment a person finds you. It's the moments you create for them over time. And unfortunately, most businesses and people who are trying to build a following are so worried about let's get more people, like SEO, and let's get
right.
more traffic, and let's pay for ads, like let's get more people in and finding me. I mean, that's important, but what happens when people find you and you're not working on what happens when they're in your ecosystem? You're losing that opportunity. And I'd much rather have people focus on, well, what happens within your brand versus how to get people from the outside in, because those super fans are going to bring those people from the outside in for you, and they're going to be better qualified with that trusted recommendation. So this whole book is a how-to of how to get people from the moment they find you to being curious about you to then being a raving fan and a super fan for life.
I love it. And I'm so excited to read that book too. And it's funny because I'm constantly talking to my audience about turning your customers into your fans. We're
yes.
a social media based company. And that's the only, there's so many times where we get copied or ripped off or all of these different things within one of our brands. And people say, well, aren't you afraid that you're going to go under? And for me, I say, no, I'm really not, because the way that we have structured a company, they're not customers, they're not people, they're not numbers, they are fans. And that makes all the difference, because fans are loyal regardless of what happens on the sidelines.
Right. And a lot of people hear the word fan and you think of musicians that you might be a fan of, you think of sports teams or Harry Potter. For me, it's Back to the Future, movies you're a fan of. But going back to my architecture website, when it was, I think it was March or April of 2009, it was taking off, and I got this email from a woman, her name was Jackie. And she said, Pat, you've helped me so much. I passed the exam. Thank you. I was studying for over a year, and your guide helped me within 2 weeks. I'm a huge fan. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're a fan of me because I helped you pass an exam? I didn't understand. But what ended up happening was she got a promotion because of that, and she got a raise. She was able to take her family to Disneyland for the first time. She even invited me and my family to dinner. And I was like, this is insane. But then 2 months go by, and I check my customer list, and I see that there are like 35 other people from the same firm that she was at that had then become customers too. And apparently
wow.
she had just on her own, because she was so thankful, convinced her boss to get everybody in the office to get their own version of my book. She could have just shared it to them for free, but she wanted to make sure I got paid back in return. And that just showed me the power of a single fan and what they can do. And imagine
wow.
having like 100 Jackies who you are serving in your business and what they can do to help grow your business and bring new Jackies in too. So that's why in my business, my philosophy is serve first. And it's always about that experience a person has, from that handshake all the way to the sort of hug and the repeat customer and the person who literally is going to freak out when they see you on the street. And if that's happening to me, and it's crazy because I'm just a regular person, but anybody, we have the ability to create fans in this way. And it always comes down to serving first and creating those experiences over time.
I love that. Okay, so as we wrap this up, I have two more questions for you.
I got two answers.
Number one, what's one lesson you've learned lately?
What's one lesson that I've learned lately? So with my son, for example, going back to his YouTube channel, you know, I used to edit all his videos. And because editing a video is not easy. There's a lot of steps involved.
Right.
And I just kind of was always the one editing his videos. But recently I just was like, you know what? Like, even though I don't think he's old enough to do this, I think I should just let him struggle a little bit and figure it out on his own. So I was like, hey, you know, watch me edit this video. I'm going to show you once, and then you're going to edit the next video on your own. And he got really scared. He's like, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I should try. And I said, okay, we'll just pay attention and make sure you get this. But it's pretty simple once you do it. So I did it, and I ended the video. We published it, and I said, okay, the next video is yours. And he got it, and he was really scared. But he was just in his room, and he 2 hours later, he comes down. He's like, I did it. And he was so happy. And then I was like, how was it? And he's like, it was one of the hardest things I ever had to do. But the funny thing is, he's never needed to ask for help anymore. He's created so many more videos on his own. And I think that's just a major lesson in how we get good at things. You have to fail. You have to struggle. And you have to try. And you have to kind of take the crutches off sometimes to get that muscle built. And it was a good lesson for me to see that in my son, because I have been, and I always experiment with trying new things, and it's always hard. And the latest thing that I've been doing is this book launch, but also an invention. And I've never created a physical product before, but this invention, which is a physical product, it's a tripod called the Switch Pod. It recently launched on Kickstarter. It raised over about $500,000. And, you know, that was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And I was just like Keone, my son, learning new things as I was going, and somebody teaching us along the way. And it's just a good lesson for everybody. It's just, you got to embrace the struggle is how I would frame it.
Absolutely. And that kind of bleeds into my next question, which is, what advice would you give to yourself just starting out?
So if I could take the DeLorean back into time, and especially back into high school, even before starting my entrepreneurial journey, one of the major reasons why I'm here and why I'm doing what I'm doing is because of the relationships that I have, not just with my family and the support I have from them, but from the relationships that I have with my colleagues and my friends who are in the same space or who are also entrepreneurs. And it's incredible. I can pinpoint every major event that has happened in my business career to a single person who has had an effect on my life during that time related to that. And so if I could go back into time and talk to my younger self, I would tell myself that you never know, the next person you meet could be the one that changes everything. And to not let the fear of meeting people or what that awkward conversation might be like get in the way, because you never know. And so, you know, the advice I would give would be, you know, because I'm somebody who loves very specific tactical advice, you know, like big mental shifts are hard for me. So I need little tactical things like 15 alarms in a day to help me understand something, right? So for me, the tactical advice I would give myself is, hey, if you are in a place where there's somebody that you want to meet, don't give yourself more than 3 seconds to psych yourself out. Follow the 3-second rule. Go up to that person if they're not in the middle of a conversation already, and just say hello and introduce yourself. You'll be able to pick it up from there. And so the 3-second rule is something that I always recommend for people who are in networking who have a little bit of trouble doing that.
I love it. Pat, you are an absolute wonder. I love everything that you've been talking about. There's so much value in all of this. And again, I thank you personally for helping me unknowingly through my journey of launching this podcast and all of the different things. And it's funny, I look back and I even listened back to the first couple episodes and they were terrible. Oh my gosh, they were so scripted. I was so unnatural.
Oh, mine are so bad too.
Oh my word. But just like you said, you just do it. You just step into it, understanding that it's going to be done badly. And in 6 months and in 6 years, you're going to look back and you're going to laugh, but just starting, because there will never be a perfect point to start where you know everything that you want to know and that you need to know. It's about that growth journey and that process and embracing that in all of its quirky, unnatural flubs and failures along the way. Where can everybody find more of you? Because I know they surely will want to. And where can they also grab a copy of this book that's coming out?
Yeah. And first of all, Aaron, thank you. You're an amazing interviewer. And I appreciate you allowing me to come on and share some wisdom with your audience and also talk about Superfans a little bit. It's my heart and soul right now, and what I think is really important for all businesses and entrepreneurs and people who are trying to build a following to do. So for Superfans, here's the deal. If you happen to hear this before August 13th, if you'd like to pre-order the book, you can pre-order it at on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or even Target. But if you submit your receipt at yoursuperfans.com, you'll get the audiobook for free.
Love it. You're recording the audiobook, aren't you?
It's already recorded. Awesome. Yeah, it's so much fun. I often go off script too during the recordings, which I did this time around as well. And the audiobooks are usually actually more expensive than the actual physical book. So good opportunity to get some good value there. So yoursuperfans.com for your receipt, and we'll give it to you during launch week.
Very cool.
And then finally, just, you know, at Pat Flynn on most social media platforms. I'm on YouTube at Pat Flynn, Instagram, Twitter, and of course my main site, smartpassiveincome.com.
Awesome. Pat, thank you so much. It's been a true pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to connect with me here on the Conquering Chaos podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, will you please take a moment to leave a review? It's the fuel to my fire and lets me know that my efforts to enact change and broaden your perspective of what's possible matter. Thank you so much for your support. If you want more content like this, don't forget to subscribe and connect with me on social media at Erin E. Hooley or at erineehooley.com. Have a fantastic day. Get out there and conquer some chaos.